give him, actually, I'd like to say a new identity. All right. So how many of you have had one of those angels show up and give you all that? Probably none of us. Not me, not yet. All right. But then I'm thinking, well, why is that? I mean, I'm a believer. Any believers here? I'm a believer. And I know that God loves me, if not more, right? And I am destined for greatness. So why am I not having one of those messengers show up? Anybody ever wonder that? Okay, well, let me tell you, the answer to that question is the message has already come. The message that Gideon got has already come through somebody greater than an angel. And the first letter of his name is J, and his name is Jesus. Okay, so the message has already been delivered to us, and let me tell you what else. Turn over to John. Go ahead, hop over to John chapter, I think it's 17, okay? I'm going to tell you a couple things about this message. Okay, John 17. Now, Jesus has already given you a message. You don't have to wait like this. Is the angel coming? Is the angel coming? Is the angel coming? Okay, no, Jesus has come and he gave a message. It is so astounding. If you would believe this message, it would do the same thing that the angel's message did. It would redefine you. It would give you a new identity. Have you ever wanted a new identity? I mean, like, please give me a new name. I remember when I used to work at the Jewish Community Center, my kids, Cassie was probably two, almost three, decided I needed a new identity to go to work, all right? And when I got there, they all wanted to know my name, and I just gave them my first name. My name is Dee. I am not the mother of four, the wife of John T. I am not this, I am not this. I needed a new identity. And I really had a blast doing that. But this message that Jesus gives in John 17, verse 16, let's look at it. John 17, I'm in Jeremiah, I better turn over here, sorry about that. John 17, verse 16. Don't you love those Bibles that have the little tabs on the side? You can just flip there, so nice. Okay, John 17, verse 16. Now, it says, they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. All right, another translation says, they don't belong to the world, just as I don't belong to the world. And now I'm going to throw up the, I'm not, Carol is. Carol's going to throw up the Message Bible. Ta-da! It says, this is where I got my title of my message, How to Have a Redefined Life or a New Identity. Look at this. It says, they are no more defined by the world than I am defined by the world. Now, personally, that's pretty mind-blowing. It just kind of, you know, sends me twirling. And yet, I've read John. This is Jesus talking, and he's talking to his disciples and us. Okay, point to your friend next to you and say, he's talking to you too. All right? He's talking to you too. Now, it's when I read this, this is Jesus talking to the disciples, they are no more defined by the world than I, Jesus, am defined by the world. So when I read that, I'm like, oh, you know, those disciples, I get it. They were all sitting around, and I couldn't believe that about them. Because listen, they hung out with Jesus, right? So I could say, well, yeah, I get this scripture about them, but that word they is also about us. And that is an incredible message that Jesus delivered to us. And we're going to take it apart today. So let me think. I'm kind of lost on here. Here we go. Now, I was thinking about these disciples, and I'm like, surely they get it. You know, they hung out with Jesus. they saw Jesus do incredible things. So they got the last part where Jesus says, I'm not defined by the world. I'm not defined by the world. I get it. Jesus, there was nothing that he did that the world pushed him into. He didn't cooperate with the world. He didn't follow, the religious people, he did not walk down that road. He just said, I'm not doing that. Then he come across natural things like storms and feeding thousands. And he was he was out of this world, okay? Jesus was out of this world. And I know those disciples got that part. But I think those disciples kind of hiccuped over the first part. They are no more defined by the world than I am. Now, I know they got Jesus was out of this world and he wasn't defined by the world. But he was telling them, guys, the same with you. All right. So, now, you go, that's the disciples. Surely they got that. Well, eventually they did. But that they is talking to you. Tom, Scott, that's you. Where's your Martha? Martha, Scott, that's you. Okay? Derek, that's you. I'm not going to go through the whole place. But that they is you. And so you have to say, let's make it personal. I am no more defined by the world than Jesus. So these scriptures, as he is, so am I. As he is, so am I. So if Jesus isn't defined by the world, either are you. Well, God bless you, or cough. What was that? All right. I want us to look, though, to get this, at the definition of define. Carol's going to throw that up there. Now, define, to define is to identify the essential nature, qualities of something. Now this that part, okay, but the next part, it is to set limits or to mark boundaries. So we are not to have set limits in our life like Jesus. He didn't have any limits, did he? He encountered all sorts of things, and he didn't have any boundaries or limits. So when you read that scripture in Message Bible again, I am not defined, or I do not have boundaries, or I do not have limits that the world squished me into. Okay, I was telling Michael a bit, I got a phone call from Joy. She's out in California. She's moved out there. She's married. Hallelujah. Two down, two to go. And she's going to grad school. Hallelujah. Purse closed. Mine is done. This is hers, okay? And she's going to night school. Loves school. God, I tried to cheat and cut school, So I don't know. She must be the Cashman side, not my side. Loves school. Loves writing papers. She gets happy. I said, what are you doing? She goes, I'm writing a paper. I was like, oh, wonderful. But she calls me up. She's at her second night class, and she calls me up the next day, bummed, because someone smashed two windows in their car at, I don't even know, at the University of San Francisco. I haven't been there to know where it is. It's so bad. Everything's so bad. What's going on? She was being defined by the world and her circumstances, and she's having a meltdown. What's so good about life? She was defined by her circumstances. Now, by the way, she's a child of God, and she forgot this scripture up here. So I text back, well, thank God you had insurance, because one window was like $500. They needed two windows. Thank God it pays for the tablet and whatever else you left in your car that they stole. And thank God you weren't there when it happened. Mom, love you. I was just nicely reminding her that she is no more defined by the world than Jesus was, that those circumstances didn't make her life miserable. Though she was, okay. Now, when I look at the word they, us calling out names, the they is you. The they is me if you're a believer. All right, now turn over to, just read down a little bit, John 17, 20. It says, now this is Jesus praying again. It's the red letters, it's Jesus. I do not pray for these alone. These were those disciples that were with him while he was praying. He says, I don't pray for them alone, but I also pray for those, raise your hand, those who will believe the message. That's you guys. So this scripture is for you like it was for those disciples. So if you're a believer, the message somehow, some way, some shape or form came to you, right? And you believed. And it all happened because the disciples heard Jesus, saw Jesus, they got the message one, then they passed it to the next person, then the next person, and that message is still going because you are called to give the message, right? All right, so that scripture, you are no longer, or they are no longer, or I am no longer defined by the world, that's you. So you should be so happy. This is all about me. I love when I run into people and I go, you know, this isn't all about you. But this is one time you go, this is all about me. This is all about me, right? So now let me say something. Let me give you an example. Where's my friend Lane? Lane is a surveyor. Okay, I really should have to muff it up. But when you buy a piece of property, you will define and set limits, latitude, feet, miles, what else we do, Lane, you know, good enough, okay, that's for natural things, you define, you set limits. Now, the interesting thing, this scripture again says, they, me, you are no more defined or set limits or boundaries. We do this all the time. We do this all the time. We put boundaries on where we're going on life because of what happened to my life. I can't do that. You don't know my history. And yet, I'll give an example. This is quite a few years ago. We were taking a bunch. It was probably the last time we took some guys down to Jamaica, to Bob Hollins. Buck was one of those guys. Did Randy Graham go on that one? And maybe it was the one before, that's what I was thinking of. The one before, Randy Grant had been incarcerated years ago, and the government was not too keen on letting him out of the country. He also had some other things going on, okay, all right. But Randy had heard from God he was to go. Now, the government had set boundaries and limits that he couldn't leave to go on this trip, but God had spoken to Randy. I mean, passionate Randy, passionate, okay. And I found when Randy sets his mind, you just go, okay, here we go. Right, Scott? You know. Okay. Randy was not going to be defined by that. And I don't know how it happened, but he's been to Jamaica twice. Incredible. But had he let the world define him, put boundaries on him, limit him, he'd never have gone. All right. Now, I'm telling you again, we put limits on ourselves by what people say to us, right? Just growing up with my family, do you know that I'm the only person that is not an alcoholic, a drug addict, and alive? Well, I have one more alive, okay? Because the limits that are put on in my family is, you just, you know, you're dead. You're bad. They're nice. I'm sorry. But you get it? Okay. I love them. We do this. Unbeknownst to us, we don't get this scripture. You don't get this because we put limits. And that's not even counting people who do it. Now, so it's interesting, though. Here's a funny story. I remember growing up, memories of growing up in Teaneck on Van Buren Avenue, where two-thirds of the population were Catholics, so that meant two-thirds of them had six kids per family. Okay, it was a fun place to grow up in. Matter of fact, that's why I fought Jack that we weren't going to live in the middle of nowhere. I wanted to live in a neighborhood that had kids because I had just great memories. Of course, as you get older, they get greater and greater and gooder and gooder. You don't remember all that. But I do remember this. It was in the summertime, and it was always the boys against the girls in softball down the park. And I lived from this right here to that daycare. That's how close the park was to us. So we'd go down to the park every day, all day long in the summertime, and play boys against girls. And the boys said this. They set boundaries on us. Oh, just move up. They can't hit the ball very far. Okay, now that was very true when I got up. But then Chrissy Rover came, and man, she smashed that ball over their heads. And we're doing the girl squeal and the dance. Woo! Okay. All right. Now, we see what I mean? Again, we in life set boundaries and limits on what we can do and what God can do through us. But I want to tell you, just like Chrissy Rover, Jesus Christ, when he died and rose again, sat down and he blasted limits off of you. So that you and I are no more defined by the world than I am. You should be doing backflips. You have no more limits. You are liberated. You are free. You don't have boundaries in your life. If you want to know this and believe this. Okay, now, I read that, and some days I don't do that, okay? Just like Joy, she knows this. I gave her a few text messages to remind her. Don't let those boundaries and circumstances of life define how you're going to live your life or how God wants you and what he wants to do in your life, all right? So, do you know what's so cool about this scripture? This is what gets excited me. My past, your past, and now listen, some of you, I know your past then does not define your future. Your yesterday, if you had a yesterday and you went doing a screaming, yelling, throwing at your spouse, does not define your today. Jesus blasted all that out. If you've been divorced, that does not define you as divorced. You know, oh, that's the divorced person. I remember Mark's not here today, Mark Fry. He came in, and he was a little irritated, and I got what he said. He said, Pastor D, there you are. You big... Okay. And I'm speaking for you. Put boundaries. We introduced Mark's the guy in the wheelchair. That's a boundary. You on him. Just ticked. I said, okay. So I say, hey, marathon man, how you doing? I'm taking boundaries off. Okay, now we don't do it intentionally, okay? We just do it easily, all right? So how about anybody that's been through a bankruptcy? I have a dear friend who was in one just a couple years ago, and it devastated not only him, the company, just the family relationships, just how he thought about himself. But listen, Jesus blasted that boundary. That bankruptcy does not define the person. It's like, oh, well, it's not a well, but oh, okay, not who that person is. Oh, that's that bankruptcy person. No, all right, that's what Jesus is trying to tell you. So anytime we've had sins or mistakes in our past, they do not define who you are and where you're going. So turn over to 2 Corinthians 5:17. It's, oh, we all know this. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled himself through Jesus Christ. Okay, that's a liberating scripture. That's a scripture we go, I'm free. I'm free. That boundary, that limit, I'm free. That should be your favorite scripture. I'm free. I'm free. Okay? God, that scripture tells you that God has set you loose. Oh, dear Jesus. Hallelujah. God has set you loose. If you'll believe it. And some of us, and you know people who don't believe it. You know the people that play the victim? I'm talking about believers. They're the victim. That's what Joy was at that point. Okay? They don't believe it. Okay? God has turned you loose. Everybody say, I'm free. I have no limits. I have no boundaries. Woo! Woohoo, let's have a party. You should lay in, you just should laugh and hallelujah, that's so good. Okay, now, that's what happened to Gideon with a message from an angel, but you have a better message through Jesus and what he did. Okay, think about Peter. Peter ended up in jail, all right? He had limits and boundaries. He's locked up in jail with like four squads of whatever those, you know, me and my army terms here. Bunch of soldiers watching him. And he goes to bed at night with what the world says is limits and boundaries. He wakes up the next day, he's out of there. Okay? Those boundaries and did not limit him to continuing on. Now Herod sends his bunch of soldiers to go get him, and they're like, oh my gosh, he's not here, where is he? And they got trouble, but not Peter. Okay, so listen, Peter was not defined by those boundaries, was he? Nope. Okay, how about Joseph? Oh my, Joseph, his whole family didn't like him, they hated him, they're trying to kill him. Those are some boundaries, all right? And he ends up in prison as a slave, right? So he's got some defining boundaries. But because of the word that God gave him and a divine bunch of divine dreams, he did not believe those boundaries. He believed how God defined him. And next thing you know, he's promoted in one day to prime minister of all of Egypt. Okay? All because he did not believe or let those things limit him. All right? Okay, another person. I'm going to go through it. How about Moses? Now, in the beginning of Moses, he kind of misunderstood the assignment. I've done that. I thought God said for me to do something, and I did it, and I was like, this isn't God. Well, Moses did that. You know, he thought he had heard the assignment. He really did hear the assignment. He just kind of misunderstood how it was supposed to happen. So he goes and kills an Egyptian, because they were beaten up on a Hebrew, and man, he really blew it. Has anybody really blown it in life? Well, Moses really blew it, but you know what? He goes and kind of gets his life together. He hears clearly, and he knows now that he is not set by limits or boundaries by Pharaoh, okay? So he's on a mission, and Pharaoh says, oh no, and he's going, no, I've heard who I am and what I'm called to do. I know what I'm defined to do. I know the boundaries. I got God boundaries. And he goes and does it. He sets a whole nation free. That's pretty cool. Last one, Joshua. Joshua spends 40 years in the wilderness with a bunch of wah, wah, wahs, okay? And they all were defined by their circumstances, right? They just complain. And listen, I'm really not into camping anymore. So I just hung out with somebody, and they said, oh, they went camping for a week on the beach in the sand? No. Okay. I've done that. I'm just not into that. Okay? I'm on the pool or, you know, da-da-da. Okay. So where's my story? Who's the guy? Joshua. Joshua is not defined by hanging out 40 years in the wilderness with this bunch, because he heard, so did they, he heard the boundaries, the no boundaries, the no limits that God had given, and he believed it, and he took this whole nation into the promised land. He was not defined by all the other circumstances. Okay, now, you might say, well, I'm not like any of those guys. I'm not a prophet, I'm not a warrior, or something like that. Matter of fact, you might be saying, heck, I don't even know what God's defined me to do. You ever lay in bed at night and go, wonder what I'm supposed to be doing? My big joke is, I wonder what I'm supposed to be when I grow up. Anybody do that? Okay, well, turn over to Colossians 3. I'm going to give you your answer to what do you want to be when you grow up. Or better yet, what has God defined you? Colossians 3:9. Okay, Colossians 3:9. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man That could be like old limits and boundaries, all right, with his deeds. And you have put on, blown out of the water, no limits. You have put on a new man, which is renewed in the knowledge according to the image of him, Jesus, who created him. Okay. The Message Bible says, from now on, everyone is defined by Christ. Everybody say, I'm defined by Christ. So you don't know what you want to be when you grow up? You don't know, you just can't figure out what I'm supposed to be defined to look like? You're supposed to look like Jesus, all right? So what do you want to be when you grow up? I want to be just like Jesus, okay? What do you want to be when you grow? Now, if you want to identify with the nature and the qualities of Jesus, you're going to have to look in the Word, okay? Now, I love you listening to me, and you'll get some good stuff. All right, this is actually Transformers Class 101. For all of you that say, oh, I love Transformers Class. Well, no, you don't, because you know we wouldn't have come at 7 a.m. with Pastor Jack. All right? But this is Transformers Class 101. And if you want to have the identity and the new nature and be defined and walk in that, you're going to have to look at Jesus. You're going to have to read your Bible. Okay? You come listen to me, but read your Bible. Okay? And then as you start looking at who he is and you start studying who he is, Jesus with no limits. And then you start believing who he is who I am. Who he is who I am. Because how many of you said, Jesus, come into my heart, be Lord of my life, right? Who's in your heart? Who's in your life? Who he is who you are. And you just walk it out. Now, I'm not saying it's a walk in the park some days. Sometimes, matter of fact, I was at a brunch yesterday, and this one mom said, you know, every once in a while my kids are saying things, and I just want to go, rah! You know, and she goes, I just calm down and remember whose I am, who's in me, and what's supposed to come out of me. And she said, I just get my composure, because not every word out of my mouth needs to come out, and every word in my head needs to come out of my mouth, okay? And she says, and then I let whose I am come out of me, all right? So that's good. Peace, write this down. It's the best scripture. Not every thought in your brain needs to come out of your mouth, all right? Said that to Cassie a million times. Millions, all right? So if you're taking notes and you want to know what you want, what you look like, first thing you're going to have to do to redefine yourself, first thing, number one, is you're going to have to develop a mindset that looks different from the world. Okay, the world is going down this road, and Jesus didn't walk that way. He went this way. So you are going to have to change the way you think to the way Jesus thought, okay? Because they walk a different road. And if you think you're just going to follow the crowd, what's it, Psalm 1? Okay, I'm going to read it. It's like one of my favorites, but I'm going to read it to you. Psalm 1. Nope, that's Jeremiah. Here we go. Blessed is a man who walks not with the world, okay, in the counsel of the ungodly, who stands in the path of sinners, who sits in the seat of scornful. That's the world. That's Psalm 1. He's going, blessed is you as you if you don't. Okay, and blessed are you if you delight in the law of the word, if you delight in Jesus, you'll be blessed in everything you put your hand to. Okay, so first, you are going to have to develop a mindset that is different than the world. And secondly, you're going to have to renew how you think while you're doing that. And okay, you know the story of Matthew 16, and Jesus is hanging out with his buds, the disciples, and he goes, he asked two questions. Who do men say I am, and who do you say I am? And they knew what where men were saying it. They were, you know, wherever they went, they were talking about Jesus. You know, they had lunch and they talked all bad about Jesus. So they gave him the report, oh, some say you're this, some say you're that. So first question, who do men, or can I take a word out? Who does the world say I am? Right? Now, Jesus really didn't want to know that, but because the second question is, now who do you say I am? And Peter got it right. You are the Son of God, you know, da-da-da-da-da, okay? Listen, Jesus still asks you two questions that you have to renew your mind with. First, who does the world say, or better yet, let me erase. What does the world say when we've got an economy that's down the toilet? Or what does Jesus say, all right? So what does the world say, and what does Jesus say? Those are always your first two questions, you know, or that. What or that? And by the way, they're opposites. The answer to these are always going to be opposites, all right? So one, you have to develop a mindset. Two, you have to renew your mind to a new way of thinking. Case in point, you've got some symptoms on your body, and the doctor says X, Y, Z, A, B, C about your symptoms, okay? The doctor's the world, and the doctors are good people. They're here to help you. But we also have what Jesus says. And all the time, what the doctor says is in the natural. And we know what Jesus has said and has done. So they're usually two different things. Though, do you know what I did yesterday? Okay, Friday, I thought, I didn't feel like going to the gym, but I was kind of like, oh, I got to go work out. No, I don't feel like working out. Okay, I'll walk through the neighborhood. And it was real early, and I was feeling really good. And I thought, shoot, I've been going to the gym since January. I'm in pretty good shape. So I'm running. Now, listen, I run downhill. You know, on the downhill part, it's really easy to run. So there's a lot of downhills. And then I start running uphill, and then I start walking and stuff. And I did this for like 40 minutes, came back Friday, showered, went to the office, feeling good. Hallelujah. Saturday, oh my gosh, screaming. Parts of my legs down here, screaming. Okay, so my body's screaming. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that I have been redeemed from the curse, pain, and really stupidity for doing as much as I did because I haven't run in, gosh, 10 years. So I said, Father, I'm just going to take that Tylenol and pray over it. Thank you in Jesus' name. You are not going to hell if you take medicine. Some people, y'all, just, all right? But do I know what Jesus said and Jesus did? All right? You got to pray over that stuff because you read the bottom half of that of don't take this if you're going to get this and this and this, okay? So that's just my little thing over here, okay? Now, where was I? Praise the Lord. Okay, number one, you have to develop a new mindset. Two, renew your mind. And number three, you are going to have to retrain your mind to filter everything through the light of God said what Jesus did. Okay, if you make coffee in my coffee maker downstairs, by the way, if you don't drink coffee, don't make coffee. I don't let you make coffee because you make it bad. Now, Miriam, I had to tell her, she's okay now. But what happened is sometimes they'd make coffee. Pastor D, I'll make coffee. All right, and they put the filter in, but I don't know what they do. They didn't get the basket in right, and the filter flows, so they pour me coffee, and it's swimming with grounds. All right? Now, maybe you old-timers like the grounds in their coffee because, you know, whatever. But it's the same thing. God gives you the word. God gives you this to filter the junk. All right? And if you don't put that filter in, you're going to have junk. If you don't get into this word, study this word, meditate on this word, actually believe it. Joanne and I were talking, to believe is to trust. Faith is to trust and to do it. All right? So, I don't like grounds in my coffee. All right, now, you start doing this and then you go, but Pastor D, people are going to think I'm weird. For 2 Peter, 1 Peter says you are. Peculiar people, weird people, but it means set apart, special. So they can call you that, and you go, I'm special, okay? And you know what? You are supposed to think and talk differently than the bunch down that road. You are going to be thinking and talking that way, right? Okay, now, Sherry gave my example. I just love that. But, you know, because we're believers and we talk this way, think this way, that scripture, it says, he who sows sparingly shall reap sparingly, but he who sows bountifully shall reap bountifully. So I am a giver because I love the Lord and I like bountiful. That's my scripture for Rebecca. She lives on Bountiful, in Bountiful. That's her scripture for her. Okay, so I think. All right? But the world will go down this road and say, are you kidding? If you keep giving, you're going to be poor. All right? Right? They don't get it. I remember the first time I took my taxes to a non-believer and totaled up how much I had given through the year. He just looked at me like, oh, honey, you're going to be poor if you don't knock it off. And I'm going, no, he who sows bountifully shall reap bountifully. I'm going to keep giving because my God just he's called me the blessed, all right? So got to get your filter, all righty? Let's see. Now, can I give you a parable? Jesus loved to give parables. I love parables because God actually talks to me in pictures. And I just see it. And some people hear words. I just see pictures. And it just becomes, not, and it's not like I see them on the wall, but they're in my brain and I just get this whole picture. And I thought, well, great, so does Jesus. So I'm going to give you a parable slash comparison to the way God's system or the system of faith works. I'm going to tell you, because you know I know a little bit about aviation. Thank you, Jack Cashman. All right, now, suppose you don't know nothing about aviation, airplanes. Okay, you look at that airplane, those 747s, and they weigh tons, and they're made out of metal, and you think that thing's going to fly? All right? In the natural system, no way. That thing's going to come crashing down. Okay? But then along comes some guy, Wilbur Wright and a whole bunch of other guys, that believe the law of lift. I used to be able to tell you the whole thing because Jack, when he was studying for his test, I'd ask him the question and he'd tell me the answer. So we'd play back and forth. But anyway, the law of lift supersedes the gravity law that says it's going to come crashing down. Therefore, I get on airplanes and I find my seat and they say coffee or Coke, yes ma'am, peanuts or pretzels, yes ma'am. I get out a magazine and I rest in that law of lift that supersedes the law of gravity, okay? Now, it's really interesting with that law, though, that's the end of the good story on how it applies to your life. Because with the law of lift, I actually believe somebody else's revelation. You know where I'm going with this, right, Shauna? I believe somebody else's revelation that I get on an airplane and I just have a delightful time. I love flying, okay? I rest in somebody else's revelation, somebody else whose revelation, you know, those Wright brother guys who redefined the boundaries, and we got airplanes that fly all the time, people all over the world, all right, all the time. But it does not work resting on your laurel, believing in somebody else's revelation that you are not defined by the world, okay? You have to get it yourself. And I'm going to tell you, and I'm going to tell you, I'm going to text you, and I'm even going to give you this later on today. Matter of fact, where's my ushers? You can start passing this out, okay? Okay, so, but I'm telling you, you have to get this, that you are no more defined by the world than Jesus is defined. And the only way you're going to get that again, you're going to have to redefine the way you think. You're going to have to get your brain into the Word, okay? And I'm going to give you one more scripture because I'm all over the place. Here we go. Let's wrap up. What time is it? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Turn over to Romans 1. Sorry. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. Everybody say, I am redefined. Hallelujah. Because Jesus is. Amen. The spiritual system, the system of faith, God's system, you know, you used to be in the kingdom of darkness, but now you're in the kingdom of light. You used to be not a good system. Now you're in a good system. Well, this is only gonna, it's only yours through Jesus, and you have to study it and believe it, all right? And I just give you this, because the devil in the world is opposed to it. Let's see, what else? I know, here I am, Romans 1:16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation. For everyone who believes, for the Jews first, for the Greeks. For it is the righteousness of revealed from faith to faith, da-da-da-da-da. Okay, for the just shall live to faith. This scripture says the gospel of Christ is the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes. Okay, you got to read this backwards. Everyone who believes in the gospel of salvation will have God's power. Okay, so most people believe, especially if you're born again, you believe in salvation. All right? You believe that Jesus died on the cross, he took away your sins, and now you're going to heaven. Hallelujah. You're missing hell. Take a right turn. You're going to heaven. And that's good. Okay? How many of you guys remember the book, The Bernstein Bears? Good, better, best. Good, better, best. That is good that your sins are forgiven and you're going to heaven. But you know what? Salvation is bigger than that. And that's the best and the better. Good, better, best. All right? Best. I'm going for the best. All right? And the only way, I mean, good. Thank you. I'm going to see y'all. All right? In heaven, because you have received Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior and your sins are forgiven. Hallelujah. Good, good, good. But I want best, best, best. And this scripture says the gospel is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. Salvation is more. Everybody say more. More than your sins forgiven. It's about protection. Oh my, I have called on the name of the Lord for protection. All right? I've been awakened, what's that word? At night? Which one is that? Awakened. Okay. At night, and the Lord said, pray salvation over so-and-so. And I was like, they're born again. No, pray protection. Call on my name. I prayed for kids. Next morning, I get the story. Mom, you know what happened? And I'm like, thank you, Jesus, for protection. That's part of salvation. So it's part of salvation. Protection, healing, deliverance, and a whole bunch of things. Okay, now, if you want to stop with good, have a good day. But I want the best. So it comes by believing that the boundaries of what Jesus did for you on that cross when he not only died and went to hell, but when he sat down, they're big. They're big. And until you know how big it is, you might just have good days. You want a good day? Oh, good. Having a good day? Good, good, good. Okay, but I want best, best. Good or bester, okay? Now, so what do you believe? Do you believe that Jesus busted the limits and the boundaries? Say amen. All right. Are you ready for the best? Say amen. All right. Are you ready to identify yourself with him? Say amen. Okay, now, Jesus says you are the just. Just, what's it say? Just as you never sinned. He just looks at like you never sinned. He doesn't give a darn about your past because he's not looking at your past. He says, woohoo, she's just as she never sinned, all right? So you are the just and you are righteous. You're not trying to be. You cannot be. You can't work yourself. You can't say enough prayers. You can't dish out enough food. You are righteous. That's the limits that are blown off of you. You're right. You got right to walk into the throne room of God and talk to him anytime you want to, even if you blew it that day. He's like, the door open. Come on in. Those are the limits that Jesus said, I am not defined and neither are you, okay? So you're just, you're righteous. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. All right, calm down, Pastor D. One more scripture. Colossians 1. This is good. Colossians 1. Guys, you are already there. You're already there. You already live a liberated, free life in Christ. If you're going to believe it, first you got to know it. And you're only going to know that. And then you start living it and just believing it, okay? And then you're going to talk about it. And then you're going to be so peculiar. Hallelujah. You're so peculiar. I love it. All right? All right, now, Colossians 1:12. Colossians 1:12. Oh, but, sorry, I'm not there. 1:12. Whoop, wrong page. Okay. Now, that scripture was written to the disciples and you, right? Right. All right? And you have been qualified. Sure. You have had limits already busted off that scripture is yours. And Colossians 1:12 says, this is what we do all day long. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the blasted off, no boundary, no limits inheritance, the blessing, all right? Giving thanks, that's what I do all day long. Oh, Lord, just thank you that you have made me able to have, to walk, to live, you in me and through me, all right? I do that all day long. So giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light, and he has delivered us from the powers of darkness and conveyed us into, put us into the kingdom of his Son, of his love. The whole chapter just so. All right. Hey, stand up for a second. If you've been blasted out of limits, if you don't have any boundaries, you get to stand up. You do. Isn't that wonderful? Now, listen. Jesus Christ came and redefined who you are. He actually gave you a new identity. Say, hallelujah, I'm a new creature. I have a new identity, all right? Amen, amen. Okay, now, the same message that the angel gave Gideon, he said, the Lord is with you, you mighty man or woman of valor. That's who you are. Man, you guys look so valorous. That's a makeup word, okay? You need to make that word up and put it on you. I am a woman of, you know what it means? I am a conqueror in this life because I have no boundaries. Jesus blasted them off, came inside of me. He's leading me. He's guiding me. Amen. Amen. Are you happy? Are you excited? All right. Hallelujah. Who's under your foot? The devil and everything he's got on you. Okay. Amen. Father God, I thank you that this word is alive and sharper than a two-edged sword. I thank you, Father. It cuts the junk that the world has spoken over us and tells us. I thank you, Father, who you have set free is free indeed. I declare freedom in this place, on these people, in the mighty name of Jesus. And they all said, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. Go tell somebody. Go show somebody how free you are, how peculiar you are. And tonight we have prayer at 6:00 downstairs. Hallelujah.